Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
For about two and a half months, we've been taking a journey. We've been watching Jesus as he's been traveling. And I think I'm a good trip planner, my wife's actually the champion behind it. I'm just taking a bit of the glean tonight for being able to do things. It's all her, and it's all in her hands as well. But now, as good as she is, Jesus is the ultimate trip planner, yeah? We see from his beginning of his earthly ministry, just how he plans where he's going. And I want to say to you, as much as we plan things with strategy, so did the Lord. Every single trip he took, every town he visited, there was strategy, there was divine purpose for him being there. Not a single town was visited by chance. It was the Lord's desire to pass through that town to meet certain people. We're going to pick up from where I left off last week. I'm a little bit lazy this week. All right, I've got reams of scripture to work through. So tonight, we're going to listen more than what we read. All right, that's for me. So those guys at the back, you've got the notes up. We're going to flight the scripture. We're going to be reading, listening from John 4. You can read up there, but we're going to play the audio for you. All right, I lost my voice in preparation for the holidays. So I really do not want to read 50 verses out of John 4. All right, so thank goodness for audio Bible. Everyone at the back ready there? You can flight it and sit back and grab a good listen.
Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her,
"Will you give me a drink?"
His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?"
For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"Sir,"
the woman said,
"you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?"
Jesus answered,
"Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water."
He told her,
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband,"
she replied. Jesus said to her,
"You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true."
"Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth."
The woman said,
"I know that Messiah,
called Christ,
is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.
Then Jesus declared,
I, the one speaking to you, I am he.
Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people,
come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?
They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him,
Rabbi, eat something.
But he said to them,
I have food to eat that you know nothing about.
Then his disciples said to each other,
could someone have brought him food?
My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, those who reap draw their wages. Even now, they harvest the crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor.
Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
He told me everything I ever did.
So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman,
we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.
Let's pray for the word before I get going. Father, this evening we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege to dig in, Lord, and to allow you to speak to us. And tonight, Lord Jesus, that's exactly what we ask. May you speak to us. We thank you, Lord, for what you have upon your heart that you desire to share with us. And tonight we are ready to receive that. And we declare complete dependency upon you and upon you alone. May you be glorified in your mighty name. Amen. Okay, church, so let's pick up from where I ended off last week. Just quickly, last week I spoke a little bit about the debacle between Jesus and John that happened in the Judean countryside when the Pharisees started keeping tally of how many people John was baptizing and how many people Jesus was baptizing. Now, the Pharisees had a means of just being outright nasty and stupid. And that's exactly what they were doing at this stage. They were keeping tally of the two ministries that were running simultaneously to each other. And what the Pharisees were doing, they were posting a score, all right? They were holding up the score. Who's leading here? And in that same light, they could say exactly how many people were going to Jesus, how many were going to John. And in doing that, clever enough, they stirred a bit of rivalry between the two ministries, this in the eyes of the people. I guess it became more of a challenge than anything else, and we discussed that a bit last week. And we know that as great as John the Baptist's heart was in exalting Jesus, here we see Jesus seeing what the Pharisees are doing and what their plan is, and deciding, all right, I'm going to bail from this. I'm going to take my stuff, and I'm going to continue my journey. And here we see Jesus moving from the Judean countryside on his way back to Galilee. Now, scripture says that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. All right, I'm gonna ask you to bring up my little map there. Let's do a bit of geography. I don't know how well you can see, but obviously at the bottom, Judea, Samaria, sort of in the middle there, we have Galilee up at the top. Now, many of you might know that when Israel was taken captive, it was broken up into two regions, northern and a southern region, being Samaria and Judea, respectively. All right, so if you look at that and you see more or less where that red circle is, All right, that's Jerusalem. Judean countryside, not far from there. You can see where Jesus is on his way to Galilee. The normal thing that we would do is we would take the straight road, wouldn't we? Yeah, you're traveling from Joburg to Bloem. You're not going to Durban first. Yeah, doesn't make any sense. All right. So what one should have done at that time was taken the straight road from Judea to Galilee. If you had to do that, you would have passed through Samaria. Yeah, you see that Samaria sitting in the middle. Now, Scripture says Jesus had to go through Samaria. That's quite interesting because back in those days, Jewish people refused to go through Samaria. Interesting. Scripture says Jesus has to. Jewish people absolutely refuse to go through the town of Samaria. You see that little white sketch line around there? That marks the route that Jewish people would travel if they were traveling between Jerusalem and Galilee. They would literally follow the route that they should have taken just before the mountains of Samaria that swing off past our right, their left. They would literally cross the Jordan to stay as far away from Samaria as possible. Once they pass that town, come back over the Jordan into Judea. Interesting long route that someone would take to travel. And there's a bit of history behind that that we need to understand. When there's obviously a bit of conflict between Jews and Samaritans. And it's interesting where that started. At the time when Israel was taken captive, the people were being sort of ushered out of Israel and taken to Babylon. At that same time as they were deporting people out of Samaria, the king of Assyria decided, I'm going to go put some new inhabitants in Samaria. I'm going to fill the town up again. All right? Everybody's been taken out of Samaria. They've been taken into captivity. King of Assyria decides, empty land, I'm going to go put some people in there. So we have a whole lot of Assyrians and people from surrounding towns that are now taken, and they've been thrown into Samaria. Now there were some of the Jews left over in Samaria. Some of the older people, some of the poorer people that weren't taken captive, they were left there. So you see a whole lot of, let's call them foreign legions, yeah, been put into Samaria, and now all of a sudden you still have a bit of a Jewish population, and they do the biblical thing, yeah? The first command that we ever received was to populate, yeah? And to fill this earth, and that's exactly what they do. So they start mingling with each other and interacting with each other, and they start filling the town of Samaria. Now, where these people came from, Yahweh was not the God that they worshipped. So as they came into Samaria, they were taught about Yahweh, they were taught about His ways, and it just happens that those foreign legions came to a place where they started worshipping Him, but not solely. They continued to bring their gods, their idols in with them. So Samaria was a town that consisted of Jewish mongrels, eh? In blood and in religion. They were, what's a nice word? I got a word in my mind that I don't want to say, but anyway, they're a mixed breed, all right? They're a mixed breed. Interesting combination. And this is in bloodline and in religion as well. So the Jews, not quite fond of these people. It gets worse once the Israelites were released out of Babylon again and they had their mandate to go rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. The Samaritans put up their hand and said, come, use us. We want to help you rebuild that temple. The Jews refused their help, citing the fact that they did not worship Yahweh, but 30% of Him. They worshiped the combination of some pagan idols and their own gods and Yahweh. And the Israelites said, look, we didn't want your help in rebuilding the temple. This stirred a bit of anger in the Samaritans' heart. And what they did was they despised the temple in Jerusalem and decided, okay, I can't help you build God's temple. I'm going to go build my own. All right, you see this little town up there standing on its own on the right? It's Shechem. That is more or less the place where they decided they're going to go build their own temple on that mountain now, and they're going to worship their God there. Now, their God consisted of a mixed bag, but yet the Samaritans held on to the Torah, or at least a portion of it, but they rejected the remainder of the Old Testament. Right? So they had a version of the first five books of the Bible that they held dear to themselves, that they used and they read in their temple, but it was not the Old Testament as we know it. as the Jews know it. And then just to rub salt into wounds as time went on, the fact that they were mixed breed and mixed ancestry, at a certain stage, your rights as a Jew was defined by your bloodline, all right? And all of a sudden, the Samaritans are pushed out because you're not pure blood Jew. And that is how things went. It's like biblical racism. Yeah, interesting. We see it from that time already. That's how people were cast out. Jews despised Samaritans up to the point where you would take that route to travel. They absolutely despised them. And in the midst of all of this, here we see Jesus about to travel, and Jesus says, I need to go through Samaria. Takes his disciples with him, and there they go for their journey. They get into Samaria around about 12 in the afternoon, and Scripture says that Jesus is a little bit tired from the walk. I reckon you would be a bit tired from that walk, eh? What do you think? Put that thing to scale. I reckon you're walking a good few miles, and he enters into the town, and Jesus throws himself down at a well around about 12 in the afternoon. And here we see another thing. As Jesus sits at the well and just sits and tries to rest and get his energy back, his disciples go into the town to get some food. Interesting, Jesus stays at the well. And I love the way he comes in. If I don't have this thing in my back pocket, I can sit down here and enjoy the well experience with you as well. And he's seriously just chilling by the well. Now we see something interesting happen. Here comes a Samaritan woman with a water pot on her way to the well, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, when I say to you that Jesus plans things strategically, I tell you he plans things strategically, because if you know a bit of history and you understand how things work, then they would not collect water in the afternoon. It's just the warm, all right? They collected water in the mornings and in the evenings. But yet, this specific day when Jesus is parking off at the well, here comes a Samaritan woman with a pot. Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. Right there you know, hier kom 'n ding. Eh? In Afrikaans, what would that be in English? Something interesting is about to happen. And Jesus literally just sitting there doing his, I'm going to sit now, I hope you don't mind, I'm not being disrespectful or anything, and I'm not thinking I'm Jesus, but I just want to chill as well. I just want to bask in this experience. Jesus is sitting at the well, and he's a bit tired, and near this lady comes, and a Samaritan woman. And Jesus engages in conversation with her, says to her, give me a drink of water. Look at her response. Eh? Her immediate response is, she turns towards the politics. We see a little bit what's going on in her heart, because her answer to that is, you're a Jew, however they're sitting, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. Why would you ask me for a drink of water? You Jews won't have nothing to do with us. I mean, Jesus' heart was so sincere. Come on, man. He's man, he's tired. Look at the distance he walked. He's sitting at a well, he wants a drink of water. You come and you rub your politics off on him. Yeah? Your generations of anger you want to take out on the Jewish man that's sitting there. But look at Jesus' answer to her. If you knew the gift of God and you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink of water. You see, here we see something about the heart of Christ. You know how easy it would have been for a mere mortal to snap back at the woman, engage in her fight with her. Essentially, that's what she's looking for. She's picking a fight. But he sits there as relaxed as ever, and Christ just gives the truth. So much value to that word, if you knew the gift of God. And it was impossible for her to know the gift of God. They had rejected the Old Testament. They had rejected the law. They held on to a portion of the Torah. They never knew the promises of God. They never knew the gifts of God in its fullness, that they could know it then. I love the way he says, if you just knew who I was, that is sitting here, your attitude would have been different. You would have approached me in a different way. You know, in the same way that Nicodemus, Jesus engaged Nicodemus, here we see the same thing. Yeah? Here's absolute spiritual blindness. I mean, look at the answer. You don't even have a bucket, and the well's deep. Where on earth are you getting your living water from? You know, that audio we listen to now, I quite enjoy listening to an audio Bible, but I really believe the manner in which they played that thing out didn't do justice to the circumstances. The manner in which the woman speaks on the audio Bible is a little bit different to what was really going on there. I mean, she didn't really want to entertain Christ. I mean, she was really gunning for him. Okay, Mr. Living Water, how are you going to get it out of that deep well, you without your bucket? That is really what she was on about. I mean, she's picking a fight, yeah? Just look at the grace, and just look at the love. And here we see Christ as majestic as ever, sitting on the edge of the well. Says to her, people who drink of this water, they'll thirst again. The water I have to offer you will take your thirst away forever. Actually, if you drink of the water I give you, it's going to stir inside of you a well that will produce eternal living water that you can go and give to other people. You see, here we have Christ talking to a Samaritan woman about the Spirit of God. That's what he's talking about. You know, that living water that's inside of us, that only he can give us, that comes and lives inside of us, and that stirs something inside of us that makes us able of pouring out that same living water to others again. Jesus is holding something so pure and so perfect before this woman, but her blindness and her situation and her arrogance and her pride blinds her from seeing what the Messiah is holding before her. But yet, it sounds nice, yeah? This water he's talking about is going to take my thirst away forever. I mean, come on, look at this now. Yes, sir, please, give me of this water. Not so that I can have this well of life inside of me, only so that I can stop coming here every day to draw water. See, a little bit about the heart, what she's after. It's all carnal at this stage. You know, Christ is trying to engage her with spiritual things. He's trying to bring change and transformation into her life, but yet she can't look past the tip of her nose. Everything is carnal. Everything is fleshly. Everything is driven out of what she's made up of. A Samaritan is made up of bitterness and anger and resentment towards Jews, and that's all that comes out of her well when Christ holds before her a well of living water. Inner Jesus comes and he negotiates up to a point. Look at this tactic. I love it. All right, you're not hearing me. Go and fetch your husband. He gets an immediate response. I don't have a husband. And here we see Christ at work. You've spoken truthfully. You don't have a husband because you've had five. And the man you're living with now is still not your husband. So yes, you've spoken truthfully. You see, this is something that Christ does so perfectly that I love. Is because when Christ goes for your heart and you're not responding and you can't see what he's doing, he has a way of engaging you in a certain way that he's going to get your attention. Now, I love this. When you convict someone of sin and yet they believe they are as holy as God himself, what is the immediate response you get from anyone? You get religion. Yeah? Any of you see that today still? As soon as you got someone who thinks they are holier than thou, and you convict them with sin in their lives like Christ did, because they believe they are of Jewish descent, right? You need to know that Samaritans believe that. That's why she speaks about my father Jacob. Jacob ain't her father. She's mixed blood. She speaks about father Jacob as if she's pure blood Jewish ancestry. That's what she believes she is. So if you believe you were Jew, then you would know that having five husbands stands against everything in Jewish law. And here Christ comes and he throws it at you. You've got five husbands. The one you're with is still not your husband. All of a sudden, there's a conviction. And as soon as the conviction comes, right now I'm going to talk religion to you. Sir, I perceive you a prophet. And while we're busy talking about my adultery, come, I want to talk worship to you now. I love the way John Piper puts it in his commentary to this. John Piper says that a wounded animal will bite his own limb off to get out of trouble. You see, that's exactly what she's doing right now. She's so convicted with her sin, she's pushed back in a corner that she doesn't know what to do. She starts chewing away at her own limbs. Now she wants to talk worship to the king. She ignored him all along. convicted by something, and now she's ready. Now she's going to throw it at him. Yes, you Jews say that we need to worship in Jerusalem. That's the place of worship. Now she's throwing everything out on the table. Is this what you wanted? Now I'm going to give it to you. We want to worship on Mount, Gerizim or something like that. I don't know all these words. I live in today's time. So can you all the fancy word, but that's the mount. But you tell us that where we should worship is in Jerusalem. So now she's going to fight fire with fire now. But I mean, come on, look at Christ throughout all of that. He remains cool, calm, and collected. Yeah? What he says to her is, you know what, the time will come when you, lady, will neither worship on your mountain or in Jerusalem. Because the time is coming when the Lord desires true worship. You know what he's saying to her there? There he comes and he convicts her of what's not right in her life. He's saying to her, it's not about what you called. It's not if you're a Jew or Samaritan. It's got nothing to do with it. It's not about where you worship on your Mount Gerizim or in Jerusalem. Because the time has come when the Lord is not defined by what you called or by where you worship. That's not what he wants. To him, it's about who you are, whose you are, and the life that you live. And he comes and he packs this out. He says to her that the Lord wants people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And here he starts attacking all of her devices. As much as we don't understand it, he's clinging at her devices. What spirit and truth? What is he saying to her? The Lord is looking for people who are authentic in who they are, in their true being. Your true being's not this. Your true being's what's sitting in here. Your true being's spirit. He's saying is that the Lord desires people that will worship him sincere to who they are and in truth. Looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And right there, I love it. She sets herself up for the kill. The Lord has planted in her life exactly what he wanted. You know, it was not just about the Samaritan woman. Here comes the palookas marching down the road. I always say the disciples are palookas, yeah? But nothing wrong with it. I'm a big one, very big one. Because there's something about them that the Lord needed to change in their hearts and give them an understanding. So the Lord's busy with two parties here. He's busy with the Samaritan woman. That's important, but at the same time, here comes his disciples that's been running around for food, and here they come and they see Jesus talking to a woman, and oh my word, scandalous! Who can you do? Jewish men don't speak to women. Hey, they don't speak to women. And definitely not to a Samaritan woman. There's some belief in that times that when you engage in conversation with women, you become susceptible to certain things about the female form, and it distorts your righteousness and your goodness, so you can't look and engage in a conversation with a woman. But here's the Messiah sitting chatting to a woman, and here comes his disciples, and can you see the look on their faces? Yeah, wat gaat hier aan? And scripture says that not one of them is prepared to ask Christ what you're doing, what you're talking to about it. But I want to say to you that their faces say everything. As they approach, they're not saying a single thing, but the look on their faces is saying everything. The Samaritan woman catches the hint. She looks at this. We've got Christ sitting here that is digging so deep inside of her that she's blown away by what Christ is saying to her. All of a sudden, here comes men that are frowning upon this situation. That's enough for you to take your stuff and to run. And that's exactly what the Samaritan woman does. She even leaves a water pot behind there. She's so confused, she doesn't know what to do. Losipot ekhan. I'm finished. I'm out. This is so not happening. The thing is, I love where she runs to. She runs back to the town of Sychar. She says to the men, come. Come, come, see a man that knows everything I ever did. I love that. Everything I ever did. Right now, she's convicted about the things in her life that is not right. And here's a man that knows it. And he's speaking it to me. And he's bringing conviction in my life. And she goes into the town and she says, can this be the Messiah? I mean, based on what he's doing. Come, come, come. Have a look. Have a look. And the people in the town, they start pulling out the cycle. They're on the way to the well now. Everyone's intrigued by what's going on here. Let's swing back to the palookas. Rabbi, eat something. They're still not catching on what Jesus is busy with. They are just as carnal as the Samaritan woman because they're more focused on lunch. I don't know what they got inside. There's no ocean close by, so can't be fish and chips. But they got something in that town that they want to feed. Come, Rabbi, you must eat something. We've been traveling whole day. You must be tired. You must be hungry. And Jesus, he just rebukes them so gently with so much love. He says to them that I have food that you know nothing about. Now look at their carnal state. Who gave him food? Did someone come and give them food? They no different to the Samaritan woman. No different. Everything's about flesh. Everything's carnal in them as one. I love what the Lord says. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. To finish his work. That's my food. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm sitting at the well while you're running into the town for your peanut butter sandwiches. I'm sitting at the well because I'm here for divine reason. And I love the way Jesus just in entices his own disciples. Look at his words. He says to his disciples, man, you guys have been telling me that as we're walking around and just eat the fly there quickly. Karate moves. I'm chopping flies here. They're around here as well. Eh? So I'm not losing it. I'm just getting rid of the things in front of me. But okay, back to the story again. The disciples, as they're walking, are telling Jesus, look at the fields. Now, they've been walking through the Judean countryside. And look at this bunch. Jesus, look at the fields. It's nearly ripe for harvest. Look what Jesus says to them. You blind bunch of bats. Look in front of you. You and you're saying that in 4 months, the fields are ready for harvest. I'm showing you white fields of Samaria that are ready for harvest. That's what the Lord is saying to them. Is you worrying about wheat that's growing? You worrying about your peanut butter sandwiches? Look what I'm busy worrying about. Fields of people that are ready for harvest. Why? Because people are streaming out of the town of Sychar, coming to the well because they believe the Messiah is there. And all he's saying is the fields are ready for harvest, but yet you do not see this. Yeah, I love what he's doing here. I absolutely love the way he convicts them. He's saying to them, open up your eyes and see what I'm busy doing. This is not about the little trip. It's not about taking the long route or the short route. It's about taking the divine route. I'm not interested in your wheat. I'm not interested in your bread. I'm here to do the will of the Father. I've got a plan and that's why I'm here. And I'm seeing people, wheat, ready for harvest. And then right there, the disciples' eyes starts to open. They start to catch on what Christ he's talking about. Now I've got something for us as a church. This is an interesting time of the year. December's coming. Holiday. Planning trips. Where are we going? What are we doing? How are we going to do it? Question to every single one of you. How does your trip look? Anyone crossing the Jordan this year? Coming back across a bit later? Tiptoeing around Samaria, maybe? My question to us as a church, me included, is how's your trip planned? I ask myself, you're going to tiptoe around Samaria again this year? You're going to walk an extra 6 miles? You're going to go where the Lord wants you to go? The question to us as a church is, are you going to tiptoe around Samaria? And the more you walk around it, and the more you try to ignore it, hopefully it won't exist. Samaria is always there. It's been there throughout the biblical era. Samaria is still going to be in your life. No matter how you plan your trip, people, Samaria is Samaria. What's your plans for December? Hey, I'm doing a festive message tonight. I'm talking holidays. I want to scratch the holiday plans. You guys are hearing my heart now. Each and every one of us sitting here, you have a Samaria. You know what it is. You know the thing that I love is each and every single one of you right now thinking about Samaria in your own life. Beautiful. It's the way the Lord works. You know what? We're coming to a time right now where the Lord is going to use the specific season in our lives to bring change. That is why we're talking about this tonight. Where's your Samaria? I'm going to ask you to think about it as if you didn't already. Since I spoke about it, you've been thinking about it. Now I want to ask you, are you going to walk around it this year or are you going to go through it? What's your plans? What is Samaria for you? Is Samaria someone in your family? Is it a relative? Is it a friend? Is it a group of friends? What's Samaria to you? Why are you walking around it? What's going on there? I can tell you one thing. There's no Samaria this year. Christ wants you to go straight through. In the same way that you plan your trip, the Lord is holding before us at this specific time, in this specific year, for us to take the straight route. So much easier to get where you want to go when you're prepared to face the things in life that you despise and you don't like. We can't run away from it forever. No, Christ just wants you to suck up whatever pride, whatever bitterness, whatever anger, whatever resentment you have in yourself. No matter how much greater you think you are than a Samaritan, Christ wants you to suck it up. He wants you to go and take the straight route. To walk to someone or to a place and casually go and sit you behind them at the well. You see what you do when you sit yourself down? You avail yourself. Christ speaks to a lady about a well, a spring of living water that he will give her. There's so many wells and springs of living water in this hall tonight. It's just not funny, actually, now that we're talking about it. You've received this gift of God that he speaks of. You have this ability inside of you to be a conduit for Christ to meet with people. Go and find the well in Samaria. Go and sit at the well. Humble yourself. Avail yourself. And let the King work through you. As a church, if we're ever talking about the harvest, when's the harvest coming? What does the harvest look like? What's it meant to look like? People, I want to say to you, the fields are white. Fields are white and ready for the harvest. The only problem is why we assess the harvest, where you're looking for it. You're looking for the harvest in this four walls, you're looking in the wrong place. People, this is church. The harvest that you meant to be reaping is out there in the place where you absolutely don't want to be. Now, do you think that the Lord will entrust us individually and as a corporate body with a harvest if we can't suck in our gut and go and reap the harvest where it hurts most? You see, what Christ was showing them is that salvation is for everyone. He says, you worship what you don't know. I worship what I know, because salvation is of the Jews. Harsh words. And immediately he says, but a time has come, a time will come, and this time has come where that is rubbish. It's not about Jews or Samaritans anymore. The Lord wants everyone. No matter who you are, the Lord wants you. All that Christ is showing there is that salvation is for everyone. No one's excluded, not even the Samaritans. That's why he went there. And all Christ wants us to do is remain true to Samaria. I encourage you, church, when you go to that one place where you are absolutely uncomfortable, and you go and you allow the Spirit to boil up inside of you to an extent where people that you have despised, people that you've walked away from, people that you wanted to have nothing to do with, has the chance and the ability to meet Christ, then you are being true to the will of the Father. When we avail ourselves to go into the areas that we don't want to go, engage the people that we don't want to engage, face the people that has caused us hurt and pain throughout our lives, go and be a conduit for the Spirit of God to touch their lives and bring transformation in their lives, that is fulfilling the will of the Father. I promise you, when you reap those fields and you start harvesting in those fields, the Lord will send a harvest to us that we could never, ever imagine. For a long time, I personally looked at the doors of this church and said to the Lord, where's the harvest? You promised us the harvest. We all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, the harvest is still there. The promise is still there. The Lord just said to me, just stop it. Samaria first. I'm going to ask the band to come up. I'm going to ask all of you to stand with me tonight. Church, tonight, I don't want to hold a sword of condemnation over anyone. Never been my heart. The Lord desires us to make the change first. You see what happens when He sends a harvest to the doors of our church and they flow in and they flow in and they flow in. We reap fields that we never worked in. We reap fields that we never labored for. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, if you want to establish the kingdom of God on this earth, I've been saying this to you guys throughout the series that I've been preaching, throughout this sermon, that if you're not prepared to make the difference in your own life, how can God entrust those people to us? How can He entrust them to us corporately? If we're going to walk around with resentment and bitterness and anger towards people, how can the Lord entrust us with a harvest of the magnitude that He wants to give us if we have not yet grasped that salvation is for everyone? Everyone. No one's excluded. Salvation's for everyone. Until the time we realize that, the Lord can't entrust us with a harvest. Because our minds are always going to be wrong. We're going to be like disciples. We're going to be carnal. We're going to be like Samaritans. We're not going to understand Christ's heart for everyone. No one is excluded from God's divine plan. He will trust us and throw open our floodgates when we show our legitimacy to fulfilling the will of the Father in our own lives. Now we're coming to a tricky time tonight. Coming to a tricky time in our lives now. The majority of people sitting here, you don't come from here. The majority of the people here tonight is going somewhere, December. You're going back home. Whatever home is. Weird enough, I don't know that many of you. The Lord's saying to me that a lot of you don't come from here. You're planning a trip about what family members you're going to see, who you're going to see. You're going to see your mom. You're going to see your dad. You're going to jump past your brother because he's a douchebag. And you're going to do a whole lot of things. You're planning your trip. You're sorting your life out. And it's this time right now before your trip is finished planned that I want to say to you, acknowledge Samaria. For the 1 year since coming to Christ, it's not going to be by chance that you pass through Samaria anymore. Because we don't serve a God of chance. We serve a God of purpose. Yeah? I said to you, Christ never traveled and went through towns by chance. Christ went with purpose. Now, I'm not saying that no one here never did this before. But the Spirit is really telling me that every time this happened was by chance. And what He wants this year is no chance purpose. Go and do it. Go and show Him that you are worthy of what you are. Of what you desire to be called. Children of God, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. We've got a testimony to share with people. I want to say to you, every single one of you, you've got people in your life that needs to hear that. It needs to hear what Christ did in your life. You know, we've got a harvest out there that's crying and yearning to hear your testimony, but yet you want to tiptoe around them. You know, you're stealing their divine meeting with Christ by removing yourself from the equation. Because I said to you all along that each and every one of you has value in the kingdom, and the Lord wants to use you. He wants to use you. Go and plonk yourself down next to whoever it is. Allow Christ to flow through your pores. Allow Christ to radiate through you that that person can meet the King. If you don't do it, who on earth is going to do it? You have inside of you a spring and a well of living water. For what? For you to drink. You deceived it for others to drink. I received my well from drinking from someone else. Christ seeped through that man's pores, and I had an encounter with the living God. And then I knew the gift of God, and I received the gift of God inside of me, not so that I can be a great Jew, so that I could pour myself out to those that have not yet met the King, so that they can encounter the one that brings transformation and the one that brings life. You know how easy it is to reach out to people in churches, to reach out to people who walk through these doors. What about that auntie at home that has been kicked by the wayside? What about that brother of yours that doesn't want to believe in Christ? Why does he not believe in Christ? Why not? Because the vessel and the carrier of Christ has not put himself down next to him. That's why. People, whatever it is, swallow it in this year. You know who I'm talking about in your life. All of you know who that person is. Go and put yourself down next to that person so that Christ can be Christ in your life and that person can meet him. That's all that he wants. That's all that he wants. It can be one, two, or three people. That's what he wants from you. He doesn't want to kidnap or hijack your whole holiday. That's not what he wants. He wants you to get to that one or two people that you've been tiptoeing around that doesn't know him. He wants them. He wants them. Salvation's for everyone. Salvation's for everyone. He wants them. This year, he wants them. Not next year, this year. He wants them. He wants them, but he needs to start changing the way you think. Because there's about 2, 3, 4 weeks left before you leave this town and you start seeing those people. So Christ is giving you a head start. Think it through. Sort it out. He wants them. He wants them. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Father, this evening, we thank you for your heart of love for all men, all men. We thank you, Father, for what we see through Scripture, just how you desire to be with us, how you desire to be our God and where we are your children. Lord, that you would restart creation. You would make phenomenal changes in your divine plan so that we can be united to you. Thank you, Father, for your heart of faithfulness. That in the midst of sin, iniquity, in the midst of unfaithfulness, you remain so true to your cause that you would start it all over so that you can have your children back. And tonight we thank you, Father, for the greatest gift of all, your Son Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the greatest sacrifice that you could ever make, which just testifies of the desire you have to have everyone, everyone in relationship with you. No one, no one is excluded from the cross. No one. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for our standing, but tonight, Lord, we thank you that salvation is for the Gentiles. Salvation is for the Samaritans. Salvation is for the Jews. Salvation is for everyone. Everyone, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for that well of living water inside of us that springs up inside of us, gives us the ability to portray you to so many. Thank you for humility, Lord. We thank you for authenticity to who we are, children of the Most High God. Lord, may you use us. Tonight we surrender our lives to you and say, Lord, may you use us. We acknowledge, Lord, that the fields are white. The harvest is ready, Lord. We'll no longer cry and look for a harvest. The harvest is ready. We acknowledge that, Lord. Tonight we ask, use us. Use us, Lord. Use us however you want to. May you work in and through us all things that's pleasing to our Father in heaven. Lord Jesus, use us. Use us. May you equip us. May you equip us to be effective in those meetings, in those encounters. May we reflect the true Christ and not who we think you are. May we die to the desires of self that you may rise up. May we decrease that you may increase, that you may touch and change lives. Lord, use us. Use us. We're here for your glory. We're here for your name. Lord, it's all about you. We praise you. We praise you. In your mighty name. Amen. I'm going to ask eyes to stick. Keep your eyes closed. I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes closed. Spirit's calling out to some people here tonight. There's three people in the service. three people in this service tonight. You walked in by this door, you feel like the Samaritan woman that walked to the well. There's three specific people. I'm going to ask you, please keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed. This has got nothing to do with any of us. This is between the Lord and the people that His heart is tugging on tonight. I'm sensing the Spirit saying to me, there's three specific people sitting in the service tonight. When you walked in by that door, you felt like the Samaritan woman at the well. The Lord is saying to you, tonight you're going to meet me. Tonight you're going to meet me. Tonight you're going to meet the real me. For this three, it's the real me. You understand my words. You understand my words. Tonight, it's the real me. I'm going to ask you to be bold. It's not a woman. It's not a gender thing. These three people here, it's tugging on my heart. Tonight, the Lord wants to give you that divine encounter. You've met Him before. You've met Him before. But it doesn't make sense. Tonight, the Lord wants to come and establish in your life a true understanding of what it means when we say salvation's for everyone. I'm going to ask you, the three of you, I'm going to ask you to put up your hand. Be bold. Eyes are closed. Don't worry. I'm going to ask you to put up your hands. Nothing to be afraid of. All eyes closed. One hand's up. There's two more. I'm not stopping. There's two more. Come on, the Lord's after you tonight. He wants to meet with you. That hand that went up, I'm going to ask you to drop now. There's two more people here that you walked in here tonight with a complete different expectancy. I don't think you knew what you were expecting tonight, but what I want to say to you is that the King of Glory desires to have a true meeting with you tonight. Come on, I know it feels like your heart's going to bounce out of your body. It feels like it's going to climb out of your throat. But I'm going to ask you to be bold, because in the same way that that Samaritan woman's life was changed, she went out and spread word that the whole of Samaria could come to a place of knowing Christ through one meeting. One meeting. Do you understand why the Lord's after the three of you? Because you are like that Samaritan woman. You're a catalyst for the Lord to spread into the lives of many. I beg you, put your hand up if you know it's you. There's two more. Come on, the Lord wants to use you. There's the second hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm saying this not to put you on a spot. I'm saying this because the Spirit is saying to me, you are a catalyst. He needs you back by Him tonight, so that when you have a true meeting with Him, you can do on this world what that lady did in Samaria. You can put that hand down. There's one more. There's a third person here tonight. Be bold. Be bold. I know this contention for you. There's the third hand. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. I want to say to the three of you whose hands went up that the Lord desires to work through you something that is so profound that towns will change through your faithfulness. Through your faithfulness. He just needs to work in you what He worked into the heart of a Samaritan woman. You know, I'm talking to the three of you. I'm talking to everyone. When Jesus spoke to her, it didn't seem like much when we read that scripture. But you don't know what He changed inside of her. What He changed inside of her had the ability to bring massive portions of Samaria to salvation. The Lord is going to do that through the three of you. And you hang on to Him tonight, because tonight He's going to turn a cog inside of you that's going to switch you on like you've never been switched on before. And nothing is going to contain what the Lord's going to do through your life. I want to bless the three of you for your boldness to put your hand up. As much as there was contention for it, praise you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord who's good in your life that you will put your hands up. The three of you, all eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the three of you to come forward. No one open their eyes. I'm going to ask the three to come forward. You can stand on my right hand side, your left hand side. Come on, people. Finish the work. Be bold. Be bold. Finish the work. Christ called you tonight. Finish the work. No eyes open yet. You're going to finish it off tonight. We're not going to go halfway. We're going all the way tonight. All the way. Thank you. That's the three I got them with. There's another group of people here tonight that the Lord's looking for. All right, you need something called the spirit of courage inside of you. All right, you're going away this weekend. I mean, this over this long, this December period, you know who it is that you need to get to. You know that you've been running away from it for ages. It stops tonight. No more running tonight. The Lord's going to put a device inside of you that's going to switch you on. You're going to be a magnet to people when you go from here. Yes, people with family members, parents. Parents that doesn't know the Lord. You've been running away from it for ages. No more. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Raise your hands. Who's tiptoeing around their father? Come on, raise your hands. No more. No more. The Lord desires your father. He desires him. The Spirit is saying to me, he wants your father. No more tiptoeing. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. Many hands went up. Come to the front. Come to the front. We're going to pray for a spirit of courage. Spirit of courage in you tonight. The Lord's going to wake something up inside of you that you're going to engage people. You're going to engage people. There's someone here with a sister. You've been fighting with your sister for ages about this. You've been fighting for ages with your sister about this. She's been calling you names. She's been calling you things. You can open your eyes now. Right, you can open your eyes now. We're going to start calling them out one by one as the Spirit leads it to me. You've got a sister that's been calling you names and calling you things. The Lord wants her. The Lord wants her. You're the catalyst in her life. You're the catalyst in her life. Who's that person? Hand up. Sister. Sister, giving you problems. Doesn't want to accept the Lord. There we go. You can come forward as well. You can come forward as well. Thank you, Lord. Lord. The Lord calls people by name. He calls people by name. Calls people by name. I said, you, all of you have a purpose. All of you have a reason to be in this kingdom. He wants you. Come, he's calling you. He's calling you by name. There's more people standing here tonight. Yeah? There's nothing that I called up specific that relates to you, but now it becomes tricky. Because to do what the Lord wants you to do, you need the well of living water inside of you. That thing, people, is the Spirit of God. That thing's the Holy Spirit. The one that anoints and the one that commissions. I tell you what, without that, you don't have a freaking chance of fulfilling what the Lord wants you to. You need the Spirit of God. It's people sitting here tonight, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've never experienced the fullness of the Spirit in your life. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the revelation gifts, the power gifts, the oral gifts. It's not about that. Spirit of God is a spirit of courage. The Spirit of God is a thing that gives you the ability to walk up to someone and engage them, to give them truth. That is the Holy Spirit. There's people here that need that. You've never experienced that. I'm going to ask you to come forward as well. There's a whole lot of you. I'm going to ask you to come forward. There's nothing wrong with your first spirit infilling. We need to top that lamp up. We need to top that lamp up. Scripture says, continuously desire being filled with the Holy Spirit that we may be effective for His kingdom. There's people here that needs a new, fresh infilling of the Spirit. I'm going to ask you to respond. I'm going to ask you to be bold. Some people sitting here that's never been filled with the Spirit, and the Lord is saying to you, come on, it's time, it's time, it's time, it's time. No more dead works. I want to operate through you. I need the Spirit. I need the Spirit. That's what you're saying to yourself. I'm going to ask you, come. Come, receive it for the first time. Get your lamp filled up, whatever it is, come. I'm going to ask everyone that's here in the front for a new spirit infill or a first time spirit infill. I want you to move this side. I want you to move this side because we need to do, we need to lay hands on you and we need to pray together. We need to ask the Lord for this and stir that gifting that's inside of us, yeah? Scripture says we'll lay hands on each other and we will stir the gifts that exist in the brethren, and that we're going to do tonight in this corner. I want to say to you, here's multiple responses and that's fine. But tonight we're going to see something so powerful in all of your lives. Because tonight, what are you doing? What are you doing? All you're doing is you're saying, Christ, here I am. I'm available. Use me. That is the power of the King. That's where the power lies, in our availability to His kingdom. I'm going to dismiss the service now. To all of you, the band's going to minister. You can hang around and you can enjoy the service. God bless. Have a phenomenal week.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent. establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.